This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, we answer the question, why be a Christian? I believe it's a great question. And there are different individuals who are asking about this question. If they're not verbalizing it, they are thinking about it in their mind. Why should I be a Christian? There are people out in the religious world who are asking that question. There are people out in the world who are not religious in any kind of way. Atheists and skeptics and agnostics, they're saying, why should I change and be a Christian? There are other individuals who are dramatically opposed to being a Christian. They're asking that question. Children, young people are asking that question. And maybe even Christians are asking that question. Why should I be a Christian? Christianity is well known in the world. Jesus Christ is well known in the world, and rightly so. People are asking, why should I be a Christian instead of something else? And we're going to answer that question this morning from God's Word, and we're glad that you have joined us. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad of all of those who follow us on the radio. We would love to hear from you. Please contact us. When we close this morning, I'll give you that information. If you'll get a pen and a piece of paper to write down some information, please let us know if we can study with you, if we can come to your home or some place of your choosing and sit down and study God's Word with an open mind and an open Bible. In Acts 11, in verse 26, the disciples in Antioch were called Christians for the first time. Why be a Christian? In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter talks about those who suffer as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. 1 Peter 4, 16. If any man suffer as a Christian, why be a Christian? And in Acts chapter 26, we find that when Paul was preaching to King Agrippa, Luke records in Acts 26 and verse 27, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or with much, not you only, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I am, except these bonds. Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. Why be a Christian? Well, maybe the place to begin would be talking about some inappropriate reasons for becoming a Christian. Someone might say, well, it's just the thing to do. I don't have anything better in life to do, and it's something that I can do. No, I need to be a Christian because I'm fully convinced and converted to Jesus Christ. I see the truth of God's Word, and I want to obey that, and I see the genuine evidence of being a Christian. I've studied that through. I've examined that. I've heard the New Testament teaching, and it's out of conviction, not out of convenience. Some might become a Christian because they're pressured by someone else to do so. Maybe their parents have been pressuring them, or their friends have been pressuring them. A preacher or a spouse or somebody else. And the person says, well, so-and-so is always on me about being converted. I'll just do it for their sake. No, do it for your sake. Do it for the Lord's sake. This is what He wants you to do. Do it because you are convicted and converted to do this. You have a mind made up and set to obey the Lord, and nobody can deter you from that. Someone might become a Christian for some selfish motive. Maybe they're thinking it's a different way to gain some friends, and so they do it for social reasons. They might do it to get a free handout or to get some money. They might do it for economic reasons. We need to do it for the reason that is mentioned in Scripture, and that is that Paul says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. We want to have that sin removed in being baptized into Christ and becoming a Christian. The only true motive is we want to be saved from our sins and we want to go to heaven. So there might be some inappropriate reasons for someone becoming a Christian, but we're not interested in that this morning. We're interested in the real reasons and benefits for becoming a Christian. And I'm going to list 9 of them. Can you believe that? 1 would be incentive enough, but we're going to look at 9 briefly this morning. 9 good biblical reasons to become a Christian. It helps us to answer the question, why be a Christian? There is good reason for that. First of all, we need to become a Christian to have true freedom. I'm not talking this morning about freedom from restraint or responsibility or law. There are people in society who want freedom from law. We're not talking about that. In 2 Peter 2:19, Peter talks about false teachers who promise people liberty. You can go out and live any way you want, say anything you want, act any way you want, think any way you want. We're not talking about that type of man-made promise of liberty or freedom. We're talking about freedom from sin. Jesus said to the Jews of his day in John chapter 8, verses 32 through 36, that they could be free from sin. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he goes on to talk about how that he's talking about freedom from sin. When we become a Christian and our sins are washed away in baptism, Acts 22:16. Baptism washes away our sins, and we can have freedom from that sin. Otherwise, we're going to carry that with us until the day we die, and we have to enter into judgment with those sins in our life. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul had been talking about the saints at Rome. Before they became Christians, they were obedient to the teaching that was delivered to them, and when they obeyed that, Paul writes in Romans 6:20, for when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. And then he comes on down and says in verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end eternal life. Free from sin. What a great thing. Also free from the fear of hell. God can destroy both the body and soul in hell, Romans 10:28. When a person does not obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9, Jesus is going to return with his angels of flaming fire. He's going to render vengeance on all those who do not obey the gospel. If we're a faithful Christian, heaven will be our destination, not hell. Not that lake of fire, the second death. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the beautiful grandeur and glory of heaven. Number one, why be a Christian? To have freedom from sin. Number two, to enjoy true blessings in life. Not the blessings that are passing in nature, but that endure all the way into the judgment day. We're not talking about more money. We're not talking about more things. We're not talking about a nicer car. I remember years ago, different televangelists and megachurch preachers would preach what was called the gospel of health and wealth, and they would promise people a new car and a new job if they became a Christian. We're never promised those kinds of things in the Scripture. What we are promised, however, are spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, and answered prayer, and fellowship with other Christians. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about the blessings of a Christian in chapter 6 verses 9 and 10. Chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And then earlier in chapter 4, bodily exercise profits for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life which now is and that which is to come. When we're living a godly life with contentment, that is great gain. And when we have godliness, it's profitable for the life that now is, right now, and then that which is to come, talking about heaven. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. We have answered prayer, 1 Peter 3:12. We have a sure hope, 1 Peter 1:3 through 4, and Titus 1, 2, because God does not lie. We have that hope of heaven. And we could go on and on and on. We could come to God's throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16, and get help in time of need. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. To enjoy the true blessings of life. There's obviously nothing wrong with having money. We need that to buy the things we need from day to day. There's nothing wrong with having a car and a house and clothes and other physical kinds of things. But those are passing in nature. We can't take them with us. We need the true blessings of life. Contentment and knowing that when we go to bed at night and pillow our head that we have forgiveness of sins and we're right with God and we can have less stress, less mental anxiety, less of those things that worry and bother people in this life. We need to become a Christian to enjoy the true blessings of life. Number three, we need to become a Christian to enjoy genuine happiness. A lot of people are very unhappy. The world is unhappy. There's all kinds of commercials on TV, different types of drug commercials, and obviously some of those things are legitimate in nature. A lot of times people market drugs to those who are depressed. And I believe that some depression, if not all, some at least, is brought on by the way that we're living. And we're not living the Christian life, and so we're mentally stressed and depressed. And so people turn to look for happiness in the pleasures of sin or material things. Some try to gain happiness with drugs and alcohol and things like that. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and 2, Solomon tells us that he sought happiness in building things, having several women in his life, wine, human wisdom, wealth, and he said at the end, it's all vanity. He said what really matters, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, is to fear God, keep his commandments, because of the coming judgment day, this is the whole of man. It's not found in physical pleasures. Happiness is found in being right with God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's profitable for the life that now is and that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. True, genuine happiness because we have a contentment knowing that we have obeyed God and his promises of taking care of us. That's what gives us inner peace and what Paul calls joy unspeakable. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, joy unspeakable. Whom not having seen you love, talking about Jesus Christ, on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. joy unspeakable. And then Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 4, he talks about inner peace. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. We can have that genuine inner peace and joy and happiness. Why be a Christian? Well, number four, to make a real difference with those around you. We help people around us when we work, and we help our neighbors with volunteer work. But if you really want to make a difference in the world, it's not running for some political office. It's not in sports. It's not in a particular kind of career. It's not inventing something that is helpful, although that's great. To make a real difference is to be a Christian and to show people and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world and show people the light of truth. Your righteous influence makes a real difference in the world. Christians are to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. We are to be the light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. As we go through this life, we are pilgrims and sojourners passing through this world, and people look at us. 1 Peter 2, verse 12, having your behavior seemly among the Gentiles, that wherein they speak evil against you, they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. If you really want to make a difference in your marriage, in your family, in your community, get up and be a faithful Christian. We have a message that makes a difference. We have an example that makes a difference. So many people are suffering from poor marriages and poor home life. All kinds of marriage problems, arguing, fussing, fighting, money problems, sexual infidelity, trouble with troubled teens and fighting between teenagers and parents. Much of that is due to the fact that we're just simply not living by God's word. And the solution is to become a Christian. The solution is not to spend money. The solution is not government programs. The solution is not better education, unless we're talking about being educated by God's word. The solution is found in changing our life and becoming a Christian. Jesus' teaching raises the level of the way a person lives and how he treats himself and how he treats others. And you make a real difference in the world. Become a Christian today, friend. Number five, why be a Christian? To be with the best people on earth. Some people want to be around others with bad language, evil influences, drugs, alcohol, gambling, fornication, sexual immorality. Why not put yourself and your family around other Christians in the local church, other brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, and be with a group of loving Christians who will help you and build you up? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, when Luke is describing the beginning of the church in Jerusalem and the spread of the gospel, we come up to Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. The churches throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, being edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied. You can be around other spiritual brethren who will encourage you and build you up. And when there are times where we need the help of others, not just physical help, but also spiritual help and guidance and prayers and things such as that, you'll have that spiritual family. Christians exhort one another and they admonish one another. They encourage one another. They support one another. They're long-suffering one toward another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. There are several one another passages in the New Testament that tell Christians what they're supposed to do with their other brethren and how they're to help them. And you can be around that if you're a Christian. You can be built up and edified in those times of your life when you need that kind of thing. And you don't have to worry about your children being around the wicked influences of the world all the times. We can't escape that. They're going to see some things and hear things at school that's not right. They're going to see and hear things out in the community that are not right, and TV and movies and music and other places. But there's going to be a part of their life that is around Christians it's going to help counteract all that other. You can be around the best people in the world. The best people in the world are not just nice people or philanthropists who give their money away to help people. It's good to do that. The best people are those who are living by God's word. They don't think that they're better than others in the sense of a haughty, arrogant attitude, but best in the sense of, because they're following God's word, it's bringing out the best qualities in a person. Christians don't think that they're better than others. True Christians don't. But the best qualities that God has for a person, the high standard, the high bar. Look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Look at Paul's teachings and the teachings of the other apostles. It brings out the best qualities. I think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. The best qualities in a person is going to be found in a Christian who is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And we can be that kind of person, and we can be around people who are like that, and that will do nothing but bring us up. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness means trustworthy, meekness, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the kind of people we can be around. So be a Christian, number 5, to be around the best people on earth. Number 6, be a Christian to help cope with life. We've just mentioned that we have a spiritual family that can help us cope and encourage and strengthen us. We've got God's word. We've got prayer. A lot of people try to cope with the troubles and trials of life using human wisdom, and some turn to drugs and alcohol and divorce and suicide and violence. You and I can cope with life's challenges and hardships the right way, with God's eternal wisdom found in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, God's word can help us to instruct and teach. We have help with prayer. I already mentioned Hebrews 4:16. We have help with our brethren, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We're not going to try to turn to the things of the world to cope. We're going to turn to those things that God gives us. And we do have those trials and troubles and tribulations that we have to work through in life. And one of the blessings that God gives us is, if you will, a support group, a spiritual support group to help us cope with these kinds of things. People who aren't Christians don't have that. And they just turn to their own devices to try to figure it out. And they're just not being helped. Why be a Christian? Number 7, to glorify God in Christ. Peter says that we glorify God by bearing the name Christian, 1 Peter 4:16. We're not going to glorify ourselves. We're not going to glorify other men. We're not going to put man above the Lord. The Jews of Jesus' day would often glorify themselves rather than God, John 5:44, John 12:43. But to bring glory to Christ, Christian, think about that. The name Christian brings glory to Christ. It moves the light off of me and onto Christ where it needs to be. Number 8, why be a Christian? To save your soul. We're not going to put a priority on our cars and our boats and our homes and our toys and our technology and our cell phones and our big screen TVs. That's not where our priority is. Our priority is on saving our soul. Jesus said, "What does it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul?" Matthew 16:26 and 27. So we're going to have our sins forgiven by being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:26 and 27, and we can save our souls. And then last of all, why be a Christian? All of this and heaven too. We get to go to heaven in the end. So the last reason, number 9, why be a Christian? So that we can go to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 that the wicked go into eternal punishment or destruction, and the righteous go away into eternal life in that great day of the judgment day. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. These shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We have heaven in the end. So all of these blessings and heaven too. Are these not good enough reasons to become and remain a faithful Christian today? Friend, what hinders you from being a Christian today? Can we help you to study God's Word? Why not contact us? The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ meets at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee, 290 Warfield Boulevard. Give us a call, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. You can get on our website at wbcoc.org. wbcoc.org. We have services that you can attend, 9:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. Come visit us, but be a Christian today. Let's study God's Word together so that you know what to do to become a Christian, the steps you need to take, and we know that we can live right thereafter and have all of those blessings that we talked about this morning. Thank you for joining us. Contact us if you will, and we hope that you'll have a good day.